Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's bring in my broadcast partner, Jack Kim. Jack, great to have you with us on the show today.
Thanks, Steve. And I also had I learned some trivia on baseball.
Nobody knows if it's ever right, Jack. I just make it up as I go. Nobody knows that better than you do.
So. And I was a big Sandy Koufax fan as a young kid growing up, and you were so accurate about the fact how wild he was, and then all of a sudden he got control, and nobody could hit him.
Yep, four no hitters in a perfect game. Something else. I mean, his last season he won 27. Jack, so I want to get to this football team, and I want to get to the defensive part first. Early in the season, Manny Diaz would go with seven defensive backs, and you and I, knew why. He looked out. That's the best personnel he had. And then Abdul Carter emerged. What did Carter's presence and his style of play mean to how Penn State played defense?
Well, I think you're exactly right about the fact. I think Manny Diaz, when I talked to him on the practice field before the season started, because somehow, some way, I've got to get Abdul Carter on the field. He is such a great athlete. He can make so many plays. He's so gifted out there, and he needs the playing time. Steve, it gave us a little bit more of a physical presence in that defense because, I mean, the young man can run a 4.3 40, but also he can tackle going downhill when those defensive linemen give him a good angle and good gap to make a play on the running back. So it made a physical presence for our defense. At times we've gone to seven defensive backs because of the fact of the passing game, but you need that physical presence, especially in the Big Ten when you're playing against teams that like to run the football. You got to make sure that you got guys back there who can make plays against a running game.
It's interesting. I was thinking back. He only played the one play on defense against Purdue, and he got called for the penalty. I was thinking back. That really was preview of coming attractions because of how he closed on that play. I think it should have been a tip-off to everybody. This guy has the speed to play.
Yeah, and early in the year, quarterbacks were running, Auburn, they were able to run, the quarterbacks running the football against us at times and coming out of the pocket. But when Abdul Carter ended up being sometimes a spy on the quarterback as well, you're right. The closing speed for a linebacker, how you go from zero in 10 and how fast you are in 10 yards or 15 yards, is so important for a linebacker. And at times when the quarterback was coming out of the pocket, I mean, he looked like he was going to be open to go and run the football for positive yards downfield. And Carter just closes with that speed he has and just runs down the quarterback and takes away an angle where a quarterback thought he may make some positive yards. In so many different ways, as Carter got more experience, it made that defense, as you saw, get better and better as the year went on.
What did the versatility of Jair Brown mean to Manny Diaz as a safety?
Well, so many things that Jair Brown can do, and number one, confuse a quarterback. At times, he's lined up at the line of scrimmage, and then he'll bail out and be a safety. At times, on seven defensive backs, he plays like an outside linebacker and on his own and just breaks on a football and got one of his three interceptions that way. You have to account for him. And when he is playing at the safety position, he reads so well that he's up there making a play against a running game when he's unaccounted for with the blocking scheme. A lot of people don't feel that safety will be in that hole to make the play, hold that to a very short game. He is just the last 2 years, Stephen. We watched him up close and personal, and how much he has improved every year, every game. And when you need a big play in a football game late in the fourth quarter, I mean, he normally is the guy who makes it.
Joey Porter Jr. showed everybody in the opening game what kind of player he is, and he's being projected obviously as a first round pick, and he's received All America accolades. He will not be playing in the Rose Bowl. But, Jack, what about the guy on the other side? Because when you have a guy on one side that's so productive, they don't want to go over there. So they kept going over to Kalen King's side. What were quarterbacks and offensive coordinators facing when they went to that side?
Well, number one, I mean, Kalen King, if you talk to him, he just enjoyed the challenge. He knew that was going to happen, no question about it, when people were going to end up throwing the football. He played with better technique on either bump and run coverage, getting his hands on the wide receiver, forcing him to the outside, turning with him, running downfield, but also he avoided a lot of the pass interference calls by being able to be in good position to look back for the football as well. And so many times, as a color analyst, watching him going, like, that is like a technique for a clinic on how to play corner bump and run coverage. And he did it time and time again when he knew that he was going to get a lot of activity out there being on the opposite side of Porter. But he was just outstanding all year, and especially when Porter ended up not playing the last couple of games, a little bit in the Michigan State game. Kalen King was just, he was so consistent all year long in making big plays against all the wide receivers.
It's interesting. We talk a lot about the secondary, and of course, Carter and Jacobs at linebacker. Penn State ended up getting so many tackles for losses the final month of the season. And for the year, they had 16 different guys end up with a sack this year. So there wasn't one dominant guy that had 10, 11, 12 sacks in the season. What did you think of the development of the defensive front as time went?
Well, I think, especially on the defensive end side, and I'll mention two guys, not the end, but PJ coming back from that injury in the second half of the year really came on. And yeah, again, another played so well at the end of the season. But you had Adisa Isaac on the outside who had another injury, the Achilles injury. But his quickness coming off the edge, you know, Chop Robinson on the other side, Tar Burton being solid all year long. You know, our team's speed on defense, Steve, I think has just gotten better and better. And you saw those guys, especially Isaac in the last half of the year, just running down quarterbacks, forcing them out of the pocket, and the quarterbacks not being able to run downfield. You know, like I said, early in the year, especially like Auburn, and early in the year, we had some quarterbacks making positive plays against us, you know, getting outside the pocket. But the last half of the year, where all these guys were pretty healthy up front, and with the addition of Carter, obviously, those quarterbacks were not making those gash yards running the football out of the pocket.
One other element, then I'll flip to the offense. And this is a defense that we're, for the most part, Jack, guys are playing, I don't know, max of 40 to 55 plays a game because of the depth. So let's get back to that speed point that you made. In November, was that speed showcased in part because the players were fresher in November than they may have been in the past?
Without a doubt. Manny Diaz is a defensive coordinator who's going to play a lot of quality players if you're good enough to play. And he's not going to play you in the fourth quarter. He's going to play you in that middle of the first quarter, second quarter. He'll play you in situations where the game is on the line. That's where you actually, you know, not only for the endurance of players in the fourth quarter, but also, you know, you gaining experience when you have to make a play when the game is, you know, tied, or you may be behind by a touchdown or so, where you've got to be consistent, disciplined. And I think, Steve, I think our defense learned a lot in that loss against Michigan. I think the fact that you do not take chances, you do your job and expect your teammate to do his job in his gap, do what you're supposed to do. I think we learned a lot because of those gash running plays that Michigan had against us, especially in that second half of the game.
There's one more game to go, obviously. Jack, in the preseason, you and I thought the offensive line had a chance to be good, but at the same time, we wanted to see it in practical application. There were a lot of moving parts as the season went because of the injuries. In the end, how well did that offensive line play?
Oh, the offensive line, I think, was the key. You know, everybody will point to marquee players like the running backs, and no question, they were outstanding all year. But the offensive line, not only the running game, but for protection for Clifford as well. We end up getting more of those second and four and five situations this year. Also, we're so much better on short yardage on third and short or fourth and short when we went for it as well. And also on the goal line. I think Mike Yurcich has got to get a lot of credit for the formations and everything he had in that red zone area that confused a lot of people as well. But our offensive line, I think if he has to look at, I think we expected the defense to play well. I think we expected the running backs, because of their talent, to be outstanding this year. You know, the question mark was the offensive line, and I also lump in the tight ends here on this blocking as well. Yeah. But the offensive line blocking for the running game was the key this year, why I think Penn State ended up 10-2.
And that was going to be my next point, and that was on the tight ends, because Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren, Jack, what kind of, quote, weapons are they in this offense, A, when they have the ball, but also what kind of weapons are they in the offense when they don't have the ball?
Well, number one, I mean, a lot of the key blocks on Singleton and Allen's runs, yeah. a lot of has been a lead block, like a guard coming up into the hole to lead that for your running back. And that was strange a lot of times. And he especially downfield, when he locked on to somebody, either linebacker, sometimes even a safety as well, he didn't lose his feet. He continued to drive through and seal off the outside, and the running back, whether it's Singleton or Allen, could break off, normally would break off of that block to make their runs and their quality runs downfield. But, and combined the fact of when they're so versatile, because we will spread them out and put those tight ends on the outside. We did that against Michigan State. They got confused on what we were trying to do a couple of times. And they're able to run the passing game as well, so we don't have to substitute people out there. We can sometimes keep those two or sometimes three tight ends in the game and run our passing game as well.
Keandre Lambert-Smith, the last couple of games, broke out, made some plays. What can it mean moving forward if he can do that and be a receiver that can take the top off?
Well, I think, number one, that is great for his confidence going forward and going into the Rose Bowl game as well, because we were looking for that one guy who could, in fact, run that deep post, run that takeoff along the sideline, and really stretch a secondary, and then you have those intermediate routes underneath. We really didn't have that guy, or we were looking for that guy. All of a sudden, when those wideouts make a couple of catches, make a couple of tough catches, and he made some this year, a couple of high balls from Clifford in the last game, he ended up going getting at the high point, bringing the football in with his hands, catching the ball, and not dropping anything during the course of a football game, also in those wide receiver screens. So all of those, but the fact that he has that, as you say, top-end speed that can make sure the secondary has got to honor that opens up so many more things, and I think for our pass game to get better this year.
All right, so now we do get to the freshman running backs. In the spring, you and I looked at them, and both of us kept saying, like, Allen and Singleton together, because we kept looking at it over and over again, seeing those two. Now we've actually seen it play out, and they were separated, Jack, by only 7 carries, so everything happened organically. What did we see performance-wise, and also what did we see from two guys having almost split carries?
Well, I think, number one, for the two guys, and I think so many people were talking when the recruiting process was going on, well, if you have Singleton, why is Allen coming to Penn State as well? What's going to happen? One of those guys are going to be on the bench. But I think this is good for both of these football players. I mean, no question, outstanding talent, as we saw it, as they came into Penn State. But the idea of splitting time, getting over 1,800 yards in our rushing game from these two guys, I mean, it had the balance of what Penn State needed for our offense to really take control and getting that kind of attitude from our running game. But those two guys, they feed off of each other. There's a competition, but it's a friendly competition. You see the one always, if you got one guy makes a great run, if the other guy's all down on the sideline, he's the first one to congratulate him as well. These are two freshmen, two mature young men who are a big part of our offense, and I think looking for the future of Penn State in the running game, and it is nothing but the arrow pointing up.
See, and that's what's interesting to me, Jack, is it's not like somebody was sitting there and counting carries. One guy's in one time, another one in. Okay, one's having a better day, so he plays a little bit more. And they ended up only 7 carries apart. I thought that was remarkable.
Steve, you're exactly right. And when you talk to the coaches, I mean, they're different. Singleton is more the explosive, the 50, 60-yard run all of a sudden as he breaks into secondary. Allen is a guy who, he finds a soft spot on a defense, and when you think he's got like 2 or 3 yards, it ends up being 5 and 6 yards, very strong. You saw him on the goal line in their formation, that full house backfield, where Allen carries football. And a couple of times on goal line on 3rd or 4th down, he broke an arm tackle to get the ball into the end zone. So they've got a different style, but you're right. It just kind of, nobody's counting carries on the sideline throughout the course of the year, but it just kind of evolved like that. And like I said, both guys, is such a great thing to see, friendly competition, which can only make both of those guys better next year.
So two-part on the quarterback. Sean Clifford ended up 64% and 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 3-1. And, of course, we got a lot of long looks at Drew Aller. How'd you feel about the quarterback play and also what the future can be at quarterback?
Well, I think what we got out of Clifford, I think what we expected. I mean, a guy who doesn't care about getting 350 yards passing. If you run the ball for 200, he gets 150 yards or 175 yards passing. He doesn't care. Off the play action, and that's where he made a lot of his big plays in the passing game. Got the offensive line in the protection that he needed to, slide it when they had to, make the right decisions back there. And I think Drew Aller learns from that. It's almost watching him out there, and you're like an intern and watching the quarterback out there make all those kind of calls that Drew Aller is going to have to be making next year. So I think we expected maybe a couple of more turnovers from Clifford, especially in the Ohio State game. But for the most part, I think every department of our football team this year was better, including a quarterback.
And finally, about Utah, every time I watch a tape of them, I feel like I'm watching, in some ways, a traditional Big Ten team playing in the Pac-12. What's your thought in looking at Utah?
I am really impressed with Utah. I mean, this is going to be a tough football game out there. I mean, they run the football effectively for about 220 yards, and they throw the ball for 250. That's the kind of balance you want in your offense. And they're outstanding on defense. The thing that jumped out at me, when they were down 10-0, I think 17-3 against Southern Cal, they never panicked on defense. You know, they rushed 3, dropped 8 in coverage, came with a blitz, you know, continued to do that throughout the course of the game. And how they took control of that football game as the game went on. You know, a lot of times you're down early in the game like that, you start guessing, you lose discipline. This is a very tough, mature football team, and Penn State's going to have to play their best game to beat this team.
I agree with that. You know, you will have to play your best game to win this game because Utah's that good. Jack, always a pleasure. Appreciate everything as always, my friend.
You are welcome, Steve. Take care.
We will see you soon.
Okay.